All right, Matthew chapter 2, I'm going to read out of the English Standard Version. Begin reading at verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, King Herod, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet." Verse 6. "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, say it with me, into the house, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. In other words, they didn't go back the way they came. They went another way. They went another way. You know how we get it. Another way. They went another way. Well, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. But Father, I thank you that you are speaking to your people today. I thank you that tonight we have an understanding as we unwrap the gift of eternity. Father, I thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Unwrapping the gift of eternity is the title of this message. How many of you have received a gift, not on Christmas, but just a gift? You get excited when you see the bow, or you get excited when it's a bag, you get excited if it's a box. But how many of you have been given a gift like in a big box? Huh? It's real big, and you're like, "Oh, this is going to be a good gift," right? And then they play a prank on you where they open that box, and inside is another box, and inside is another box, and then inside is another box, and then inside. But the excitement is there. But what if you're like Marty? Once you get past the big box that you're opening, and you're like, "Okay, it's not what I thought." And then what I thought, it definitely is not going to fit in that box. Then you open that box, I know it ain't going to fit in that other box. But then you don't know what it is, but you're still searching for it, right? Until you get to the very thing that is given to you. And you can do that old adage, if it's not really what you really wanted. "Oh, thank you. What is it?" Have you gotten gifts like that? Huh? What is it? Because you don't know what you got. And I believe this is what happened when we first got saved. When we first got saved, we unwrapped the gift of faith. And it wasn't what we thought. How many of you know that when you unwrap the gift of faith, it comes with trouble? Testing. Huh? Do you know that when you unwrap that gift of faith, you're going to be tried. Tested. Proven in order to be approved, right? How many of you passed the ultimate test of faith? Raise your hand. You passed the ultimate test. That's it. The final test of faith. And now you can just speak and things are just going to happen. No? So it's a gift that keeps on giving. Right? It's a gift that keeps on giving. Faith is given to you. Guess what? He's going to make sure that you utilize that gift that he gave you. Faith. Right? So I started reading this. I said, okay, God, I know about faith. Really? No, not really. I just had to live by faith, but not understanding faith. You know, when you live by faith, you don't always see things. You have to, like, walking around blind because you don't always know. But I find it that the wise men, you know what magi are, right? Magi were astrologers. They knew the positioning of the stars. Well, when they saw the star come up, when it rose, they left what they were doing. And what they do, they began their journey of faith. Now, on this journey of faith, they're following a star that was not there before. Okay, hold up now. Do you understand? How many of you leave your house? Okay, maybe I shouldn't ask this question here in church. Hypothetically, so no one. Okay, hypothetically, how many of you read your horoscope? Huh? Nobody want to raise their hand? Y'all read them. I know you do. Okay. And so just trying to get an understanding of what's to come, right? How's my day going to be, right? Okay, so we look for guidance from things, do we not? We always look for guidance. But sometimes we start looking for guidance on things that we shouldn't be going to look for guidance. Okay, you know those wonderful businesses that are on the side of the road sometimes that are always open, always readily available for you to take your money and tell you your future. They use tarot cards, the crystal balls, or if you've been to some, okay, look, I told you, I wasn't always saved, didn't always know Jesus. But I remember going into this one house that my grandmother and really our family, to be honest with you, would go to. And we would walk in, and I knew the boy that they went to go see the parents. I knew the boy, so me and the boy would be playing outside because they wouldn't let us in the house while things were going on. So in order to get blessed, we had to come out of pocket to get blessed. Okay. So we wanted prosperity. We wanted a potion for prosperity, so we had to come out with our money for that blessing so that we can get prosperity. Never saw prosperity, but they got prosperous. But you see, we were looking for guidance. How many of us would definitely like to have guidance on our every step? I know I would. God, I need to know that it's okay for me to go there, God. God, I need to know if this is a job I'm supposed to take, God. You need to tell me, God. You need, well, since you're not answering, I'm just going to. Because, you know, God, you have a tendency to be late. So we want to hurry up and jump on that track and start running on it real quick. So I said, God, you know, these magi, they understood the stars. They watched them and they could tell. And the thing that I find it very interesting that you know that the shipmates, the ones, what do you call them? Captains of the ship. They still can do that if they don't have a compass or a navigation system. They use the stars. And they can get them to where they need to be. They still use that. So now here comes the star that had not been there before. See, the star rose. And they started following it. I find it very interesting. How many of you can follow something that you don't know where it's going to take you? Can you do it? Can you follow something that you don't know where it's going to take you, but you know in your spirit I'm supposed to follow it? Right? Kind of like how we're supposed to follow Christ, but every season that comes in between, there's a long duration where he's not speaking. He's not showing up. He's not doing what he said in his word he was going to do. And so we start getting mad at God, or we get angry at God, or we just kind of, Lord, I trust you, but. Okay. Well, think about these magi. They're following this star. And do you think they got distracted along the way? Yeah, it took them a long time, because it wasn't like they can jump on via and get there. It wasn't like they can jump in a plane and hurry up and get there. They had to travel for a while. Heard somebody say, how long? 2 years. Do you understand that? 2 years following after a star. 2 years. Could you do it? 2 years falling after a star, not knowing where it's going to be. So they get to a place and they ask King Herod. Hey, have you seen that star? Where's the Messiah that is born? Now they're getting closer. So, but did you read there how even King Herod got troubled? Who else got troubled? Oh, wait a minute. They all got troubled. Were they troubled in a bad way or troubled in, ooh, something's up. Something's up. But King Herod was like, uh-oh, trouble. But the other people that knew, because they knew of the word, because King Herod didn't know. And they gave reference to King Herod where the word was going to come from. Where actually Jesus was going to be born. And tells them through the prophetic word where it's going to be. See, it's the same thing that in our walk, we get a prophetic word, but we can't walk it all the way out, even if we've been wandering for 2 years following after the word to find it. When we get there, we even ask questions along the way. But I look along a lot of the Christians today, and me included, along the way, I get so fed up that I feel like I'm lost. I know you said to do this, God. I've been going to the Alazon courts for a long time. Now these children been taken away. And if it wasn't for the employee taking those kids, and not even our own kids, we've been talking to ourselves, feeding ourselves pancakes. Not that the pancakes are not good, they're actually real good. And this past time we had those little snowmen. They were real good. I had like four of them, but you know, they were good. But then But you see, you're following after a word, what God said to do, and along the journey, we get tired. We get frustrated. Do we get distracted? Do we get distracted? What distraction do you think is going to come? What distraction first? Because every time you're on the path with God, how many times has the enemy come in to get you off the path? Almost every time, right? So what do you do during that time? What do you do? Gripe, complain, cry. What do we do? Okay, we pray. Did it change anything yet? No, we just kind of still go through the motions, right, of what we think we know to do. And then along the way, it's 2 years. 2 years. Now, the baby's been born. Jesus has been born. And he wasn't born in the hospital, wasn't born in a 5-star hotel, was in a manger. But when they got to him, he wasn't a little baby no more, nor was he in the manger. He was in the house. See the transition? There was a transition that took place along the way. As the more you continue to walk after God, there's growth. But if you don't continue that pursuit, there's no growth. But there's two things that I find very interesting. Is that not only did Jesus transition from the place of birth and now into the house, that the wise men entered into the house. Along your journey on finding what God has told you to do and you're seeking after it, maybe we need to understand that God is trying to get us into our transitional phase of growth. These wise men arrived, and they were so excited that they bowed down, opened their treasures, and they presented their gifts to him. Isn't that interesting? Not only did they go to the house, but they traveled long distances for 2 years, bringing their gift with them. But it wasn't open until they got to his presence. You understand that? 2 years following the star, the gifts aren't presented until they're in his presence. If you ever want to find out really what your gift is and how it functions, get in his presence. Get in his presence. And when you get in his presence, oh, he begins to reveal to you deity. The gold represented his deity, his Godhead. The frankincense. Whew. How many of us are willing to carry the fragrance of God in us, even through our long journey that we're going through? Does the frankincense turn into the myrrh? Because the myrrh is used for burial. Or are we carrying it and realizing we've got to present ourselves to Christ? The Magi went and they presented themselves. I'm sure they had all these kind of questions as they were walking. How many of you have questions as you're walking after God? And do you start leaning on one another? Because there was just three of them. Matter of fact, it doesn't even say how many. We just equate it with the three gifts that are given. It's only three wise men. So we begin to think that we have to lean on one another to uphold one another on our journey. Is that right? But then I find it interesting that when we try to do that, all kind of crazy stuff happens. Someone gets critical. You tell someone what you're struggling with, and then they tell what you're struggling with to others. Oh, they expose you by you being honest with them. Then they expose you to others. How many of us have been down that road? You try to confide in your brothers and sisters or, you know, in the Lord. And those same ones that you're confiding in are the ones that are coming against you. Isn't that crazy? But yet we're the light. We're the light. And because we're the light, people are going to see Christ in us. But there has been more bickering and more division in the church as a whole. But yet we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that's what I've been trying to put my finger on that, why this happens. Now, why do you allow it if you're all powerful? If you're the one that can stop all of it, why do you allow it? Have you asked that question? Why do you allow all these kind of offenses enter into the church? God, it's your house. It's your house, God. Why do you allow it? And then it's like God turns on and says, why do you allow it? Why do you allow it in your house? I don't allow it in my house. I tell it to get out. But it keeps coming back. Do you see? We're always dealing with something that comes into the house. When the Magi came into the house, they had questions, I'm sure. How many of you would get before Jesus and ask him every question you had? Where is Eve? I need to have a word with Eve. We wouldn't have to toil. All the women in here wouldn't have to go through the labor pains. Oh, let's not about your monthly visitor. Uh-huh. See, I know these women would go and ask, where is Eve? I'm sure these Magi had all kinds of questions. But what happened when they got in his presence, they couldn't ask nothing. All they could do was give. All they could do is give. And so we wonder, how do we get more of God? How do we get more of God? Give. What do you give? Yourself. Give yourself to God. 2 years of walking. Come here, Josh. I know you didn't feel well. Come here, Josh. 2 years. Come on, Chris. You know. Not that they were walking like this and, you know,
from afar. But maybe I think they started off the way, look, the star. You see it? I see it. Do you see it?
Yeah.
I see it. What do we do? Let's go.
Follow.
Chris, you got to look up, man. Oh. Well, not that hard, because then we're going to fall. But you see, now we're looking at the star. We're following the star. I'm tired. Hey, did y'all pack any food?
No.
What?
No.
Oh, Lord. You didn't bring no tortillas?
Mm-mm.
No sandwiches?
No sandwiches. No mustard.
No mustard? What you think, man? Should we turn back? No, let's keep going. All right, so we're just going to keep on going. It's getting cold now. There's a change of seasons while we're following this star. Did you bring any blankets? Did you bring? You didn't bring no jackets? You didn't bring no thermal underwear? Lord, because you know it's cold. What do we do? Keep going? Man, you know I'm wearing boots today and they ain't broken in yet. A blister?
Yeah.
And shoot. You know, we can turn back now. It's closer if we just turn back. Because at home, I had a wife that makes conchita sometimes. And when she makes that Puerto Rican rice, Lord, it'll slap your mama quick, man. It's so good. What you think? What, should we go back home and shall tell her to make some rice for us?
But we were wise.
We were wise? Wait a minute. We were wise. Wise men.
We've come this far.
We've come this far, so don't turn back. Keep going. Don't listen into our own soulless realm, our own desires, our own fleshly wants. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to the stomach, right? I wonder if they want to fast for 2 years. I wonder what that was. What do you think? So we're just going to keep on going? Just got to. We've come this far, right? Oh, let's just keep on going, I guess. But, hey, what if we're lost? What if we're lost? You know, there ain't no women in here.
Oh, man.
How many of you, hold up now. Okay, how many of you women, when you get lost, you ask for directions? Men. They are not lost. They know where they're at all times. Even though they don't know the location, they're there. So something had to keep them intrigued ongoing. Something had to be excited inside of them, ignited inside of them to keep them going. Right? Have you ever gotten lost when you're following directions? You ever gotten lost before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, see, we went on a cruise. You know, our family likes to go on cruises for our vacation. Now, it's not a very comfortable ride when your luggage is there. You ain't got much room in the back seat to stretch out. So we would see Hannah's, leg come across the center console with her bare feet like this and just stretching. And then we would see Josh like in the ball in the corner this way, neck all twisted over, just so that we can get to the cruise ship in Houston, San Antonio, Houston. So there was something, some sort of excitement to want us to keep going. Do you understand? Oh, I'm gonna go on this cruise. I'm going on a cruise. I may get lost because we did. Thank God Popo was leading. Just keep your eye on that maroon truck. Where to go? Well, but you don't read the signs. It's 65. You go 85. So then we got to hurry up. And it sounds like you're going fast, but it ain't going. Because it's so weighed down. But we didn't want to get lost. But if I'd have really gotten lost, Mama would have told me to pull over and ask for directions. Because I don't trust Siri. Siri get me lost all the time. I don't need another woman telling me what to do. So look at here. Look, so now we're on our way to the cruise and we're hurrying up to get there. We want to hurry up and get there so we can get on the ship. And because they got all this food. Oh, so I got to get on this cruise. There's some excitement there. The kids are so excited. And then once they get real close, they tell, it says, what is that? The town outside of Houston, Katy. When you get to Katy, you know you're getting close to Houston, but you still got an hour to go. Remember that? And we're driving. So, oh, we ain't coming to Houston. How much longer? It's still a distance? Because we got to go around. I mean, when you go through a big city that you really don't know, there's all kinds of exits and turns and stuff, you can get lost. I imagine these wise men following a star that they really didn't know where it was. Because I look at stars right now, and somebody in Florida can see the star that I'm looking at. So how accurate to that location is it? Come on, think about it now. You know, I told you the way I think. I'm looking at a star. Where'd you go? Okay. You're looking at a star. You, John Michael and Josh, see the same star, but you're so far in another state that you see that star. Can you imagine the accuracy in the leading of the wise men to Jesus? See, we think that because there's a distance from where we're at and where we're going, that God can't get us there. Okay, watch this now. Because everything that we're doing just to get to where we're supposed to be going, where we started off, there's something that is pulling us to get there. And if there was an excitement, we probably would have said, you know what? Mm-mm. Man, I love you, brother. But man, 2 years, man, we ain't going to do this. Man, you didn't bring enough of the stuff that I told you to bring. You know, I told you to bring that coffee and you didn't bring no coffee. Shoot. And I told you to bring the cups. You didn't bring no cups either. You know, can you imagine the discussions they had along the way? It's not like they had cell phones to call back home. Baby, I miss you, baby. I love you. I just miss you. It's been a long time. And these guys, you know, they hadn't taken a shower. And oh, Lord. We're going to keep on going, Mama. She's looking at up in the sky. She says, I see the star from here. Where y'all at? I don't know. We're in the vicinity of mountain. More mountains. We're way over here. Well, I can see the star from here, and it's real bright, too. Have you thought about it? Y'all think of it that way? Okay. Okay, you came in from San Marcos, and that's a good distance. 45-minute drive. Right? 45-minute drive, depending on how he drives. 30. 25. Now, that's a good distance. That's 45 minutes in a vehicle to get there. Let's just say, hypothetically, San Antonio to San Marcos is the distance they were traveling. Two years? Look at here. I can get up on the high 135 right now. 1604, 35. Boom, I'm there. Because I know where I'm going. See, the thing is, they didn't know where they were going. And that's the whole thing when you unwrap faith. Once you come to Jesus, faith tells you, I'm going to lead you, but you're not going to know where you're going. You're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to trust me that just because you didn't think, you don't think you came prepared, I've already given everything inside of you for your journey. You may look at the outer things. Can you imagine their turmoil? Can you imagine? Watch this. Did you bring any sinus medicine with you? Because you know we're going to go through the airs with the sinus. I brought my nasal spray, but you're not using my nasal spray. Okay, now watch this. Now, everybody has their own will. Okay, now they're following after the star, but they don't know where they're going yet. So they get to King Herod and ask King Herod. Okay, now they ask for directions. They ask a king that's mad. Hey, but I don't know who this Jesus is, but hold up. Let me ask some other folks that may know.
Oh, so they ask them, oh, what is this about the Messiah that is to be born? And then they tell them the reference to the prophetic word that had been prophesied years ago. Don't miss this. See, people are quick to say that when a word doesn't come to pass, that it's a false prophet speaking. Have you been down that road before when the word hadn't come to pass? Oh, it hadn't come to pass? That was a false prophet right there. Shoot, giving false words like that. I ain't going to be listening to something like that. But then all of a sudden now the word is now presented now in its season. In its season is presented. And now there's a whole group of people that are excited about the word that was spoken and written years before. So now there's something inside of us that, oh yeah, you're right. Now I know a vicinity. Now I know the town. Bethlehem. How do you think they're going to find the house? First it was, they were in a manger. Jesus came in a manger. Now, a two-year-old boy, you think he's going to be wrapped up in swaddling clothes? He ain't going to fit in the swaddling clothes. And then you know how we wrap babies? Real tight. So that they don't start flinging their arms. They're used to the womb. Well, I imagine that what they were doing, they were bringing their gift that was wrapped inside of them. And as they got into his presence, the gift was being unwrapped. Their gift of faith. In their gift of faith, when they get to Jesus, all they could do is worship him. We made it. We're not crazy. We made it. That's the boy. Are you hearing me? The boy. Not the Messiah, but the boy. Do you understand? It said it, the boy. Not the Messiah, but the boy. You have to have the faith to see that inside the boy is the Messiah. You have to have the faith to see beyond your natural to have an understanding of the supernatural. Thank you, guys. Because if you don't have the faith to see beyond the natural, you'll never engage into the supernatural. You'll continue to walk around aimlessly trying to find what God has sent you out to do, but you won't know how to obtain it, how to grab it and grab hold of it because you're looking at the natural. Because in our natural mind and our natural senses, it doesn't look like that ain't no Messiah. If it had been the Messiah, he'd have been in the palace. Because they understood kingship. You see what I'm trying to tell you is that when God speaks something to you concerning your future and your destiny, it's not going to look like what you think it's going to look like. It's not even going to smell like you think it's supposed to smell. It's not even going to be in a location that you think it's going to be. What did the scripture say? The scripture said, oh, you Bethlehem. Oh, you will not be forgotten. You won't be the least of them because out of you. Are you reading the scripture? Are you understanding the nuggets that God is saying? I'm not in these last days going to raise up a church that everybody knows. I'm not going to raise up a voice that everybody's already heard. I'm going to raise up someone that they think is the least among everybody else. I'm going to raise somebody up that's going to speak truth that nobody's ever seen or heard before. Been hiding somewhere unclean. Hiding somewhere amongst the animals. Oh, don't go. Help me out because this is going to be real short. Woo! Thank you. You see, the Savior came. And they said to Mary, when the angel came, you have found favor with God. She had to trust and have faith.
in the supernatural. Because in the natural, it made no sense. Wait a minute now. How are you going to tell me that God is in here when all I've been trained to do is think that God is up there? And all I've been trained to know is that God comes to judge. Don't miss this. The teachings in the earlier writings were God will kill you if he finds sin in you. Explain the baby then. Supernatural event. Supernatural event. But how can I explain it to the natural minds? Why do you think that, oh, husband-to-be, we're like, oh, hey. Yeah, I know I'm older than you, but it's not this tradition here. I'm cool with that, but you and I, So you and I are about to get divorced, even though we're not married yet. I'm just telling you right now, this ain't going to work. I don't know where you've been last night. You come in and tell me you're pregnant with Emmanuel, God with us. That's sacrilegious. That's saying that we ourselves can hold God in us. That wasn't the teaching of that time. You couldn't get near God. You remember Moses? He couldn't go up to God unless God called him. But Mary's like, wait a minute. How is it that I found favor? A nobody. A nobody that found favor. How come not a princess? How come not a queen? How come someone that already knows what's coming? You see, we're looking to be so wise, to have all the understanding. But God is looking for someone that says, you can't use your intellect. You can't even use your natural mind. Because in what I'm about to do is supernatural. What is the supernatural thing that's about to be done? A birthing is about to take place in you. In you. Emmanuel, God with us. With us. But yet we've gone through all these 2,000 years knowing that God is with us, and we're still looking up. We're still looking up on what led us to him here on earth. And the reality is, he's here. And if we don't know how to call on God with us inside of us to come forth out of us, we'll never birth what God has given us inside of us. It'll stay there. It'll stay remaining in the very thing wrapped up in swaddling clothes, but never be birthed. We have to go through our journey and our walk and travails and try to figure things out by faith. What did they present? Gifts. What was unwrapped? Their faith. Much is always talked about, even the symbolisms of the three gifts that were given. The prophetic utterances of it because of what it was to reflect and what was to come. But what about the gift of faith that was unwrapped the moment they came into his presence? Watch what it says. Because in the dream, God told them, don't go back the way you came. Don't go back from the what you have once known. Don't go back the way you always know to go. Go a different way. What is he trying to tell us even in the very announcement of the birth of Jesus? Once you have an encounter with Jesus, your gift of faith is unwrapped. But you can never go back to where you once were. You will go a different way. Because faith leads you a different way. Oh, that's some deep teaching right there. Maybe it's just too much. Jesus is born in a manger. Christmas Christmas. A tree. What does a tree have to represent? A tree. And we put all these kind of beautiful ornaments. We adorn it. A tree. Well, let's look at that. Where did Jesus die? On a tree. And what did we adorn him with? A crown of thorns. How was he on the cross? How was he on that tree? Naked. Why? So that you could be clothed in his majesty. So that you can be clothed and adorned with his love and his power. You see, the thing is, we think that Christmas is all about the gifts. In reality, Christmas is about your faith. It's about your faith. Gift in it. I gotta wrap it. I gotta put it under a tree. I gotta wrap it. Put it under a tree. By the time you know, you can't see the tree no more. There's so many gifts. And then we get the candy canes. The red and white candy cane. Huh? Yeah, that's the shepherd's staff. The red is the cleansing of your sins to make you white. Oh, but the peppermint. Whoop! The peppermint. Is used to change the inside to preserve what has just been healed. I tell you, sometimes it's just too deep. It's too deep. How many of you put up Christmas trees with no lights in it? No, everybody puts lights in it. Why? Because he is the light source. He is the light that was hung on a tree. He is the light. You see, we think that all these things are just about, oh, how nice it is. And there's Santa Claus. He's got a beard, and then he's got a red suit with white gloves, white cuffs, white fringes. You see, the thing is, it's always represented about the blood in everything. Christmas is about faith. Not faith enough to, when I buy that last gift, will I be able to pay my bills? You're not that kind of faith. I'm talking about the faith and trusting in Jesus and believing that he is the Christ, the Messiah. He is Emmanuel, God in us, God with us. That our faith was unwrapped the moment we said yes in his presence. The faith didn't start when they left their domain to follow after the star. Once they knew about the stars, they knew something new was coming. They knew that Messiah would come because of a star, that the announcement would come through a star. See, I remember back in the day when we would decorate our tree. I remember the tree we would have, that we'd do those, what's that little silver stuff that you throw on the tree like this? Tinsel? Tinsel? Why silver? Because of the redemptive power of Christ. Silver is redemptive. It's symbolic of redemption. And then, Mama used to always put the star on top of the tree. Remember the star, Mom? Maybe you remember this one back in the 70s when it was, you have a white tree and then you'd have that wheel that changed colors so that the whole tree would change colors. You remember that? I used to like that. I used to hold that wheel when it was changing color, and I hold it right there on the green. I just like the green, look cool. Look at that. And I would hold it, but then you let go and it would change, right? It's the changing of your seasons. It's the changing of your seasons. And then when you have the multicolored lights that are inside the tree, it's because you're going to go through seasons and changes in your life that you're not always going to be the brightest. Sometimes you may be the darkest. But you're intertwined and you're mixed in to the very thing that we think, oh, it's so cute, it's Christmas. No, you're intertwined by faith in the very thing that brought salvation to you, into the very tree. Because those that are hung in a tree are cursed. Oh, it's so beautiful. And then we present our gifts under the tree. Yes, our gifts are given at the tree, the cross. Our life is a gift, and we give it to him. And as we give our life to him, he then unwraps us with faith. Christmas. Oh, Christmas. Oh, all the songs that are
so beautiful that are sung. And then, what about the white Christmas? What's that song Bing Crosby sings? What is it? Dreaming of a White Christmas. Let me get started. You know what snow really is? It's what? Water? Frozen water? No. It is the dirt that is in the air, the particles. It is the rain as it begins to freeze the particles that are in the air. It is the whiteness that covers that darkness, and it covers it and becomes now snow. When you look at the clouds where snow clouds come in, they're dark, they're gray. And it's the particles that are in the air that you can't see, that are dirty. Your allergens that are in the air that you can't see. But it's what that white represents is I am covering your dirt. I'm covering your dirt. You see, we walk around thinking, oh, this is so beautiful. It's just Christmas. We play right into it. We get caught up in all the hustle and bustle of it. We call it Black Friday to get them out of their negative. Watch this. It gets them out of their red into their black. God says, no, I need you in my red. I need you in my blood. It's in the blackness, in the darkness that you turn away from me. Okay, don't let me go there. Because if I was to look at your checking account and you've been in the red for a long time and you were believing God while you were in the red, but once you got in the black, meaning that you were no longer in the negative, you were in the positive, who needs God? That's how we begin to forget about Him. And He says, oh, you're going to rely on your money? You're going to rely on your gifting? Let me remind you that I unwrap faith in you. Now the season changed. And things start kind of falling away. See, faith makes you see beyond your natural to trust in the supernatural. Mary had that understanding when the angel came. After, how can this be? She questioned, but not out of, this is a lie. How will it be? Let it be unto you as your word is, as you have spoken. See, here's the thing. When we just trust God with that word, when it is spoken, then it is so. It begins to develop inside of you. But when we question it, how can it be? Why will it be? And why me? You begin to doubt it. But she said in her mouth, she said out of her mouth, let it be at your word. At your word. I don't know how it's going to be, but I know it will be. I don't know how people are going to look at me, but I know they're going to come at me sideways. I know they're going to tell me that I'm a harlot. I know they're going to say, you've been sleeping around. And I know they're going to tell my soon-to-be husband, you got to divorce me. Watch this. Then why did she go over to her sister's house? And then when she walked in, that the baby inside of her, Elizabeth, leaped and jumped. See, there's some things that we got to understand. When people are coming against you, you got to get around other folks that have the same thing inside of them. You can't be around people that are going to be talking about you. You can't be around people all the time that are going to try to pull you away and distract you. You got to get around some folks that are like-minded, like-spirited, carrying the same purpose inside of them. I'm going somewhere. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm going there. It may not look like it's supposed to be. It may not feel like it's supposed to be, but I'm going to get there. I may have lost my wife, may have lost my children, may have lost my husband, may have lost my sanity, my home, my house, my all of my money. I lost everything. But I trust God. Because it's not my natural. It's my supernatural. The gift of faith of eternity was unwrapped. And because of that, now I live it out. I walk it out. That's how you are. You got to walk it out. Even when it doesn't look right. This can't be you, God. This can't be you. This can't be you getting wounded and hurt.
This can't be you being taken advantage of. This can't be you, God, when people are always lying, cheating, stealing. This can't be you. This can't be you, God, when everything around me seems like it's falling apart. My business is closing down, claiming bankruptcy, fighting the IRS. Whew. Set up for my lineage, but then shut down. This is greater plans I have for you that will go beyond the lineage that you would have ever been able to sustain. That you would touch lineages and empower them to go beyond what they see in the natural. They will speak of the things that, if you only knew what I knew, and if you could only see what I see, because not everybody carries the same vision. Not everybody carries the same seed. Not everybody's on the same road, the same path. The wise men knew it. So they went on that road and they let nothing detour them. I'm going to go because I got to trust that there's something inside of me saying, I got to get there. And when I get there, I'm going to give gifts. But then this gift is unwrapped. And I begin to walk the walk of faith. And I'm not going back to where I used to be, the way I used to be. I'm going to go a different way. What does that represent? Every time you go before Jesus, He changes you. He reveals more of Him. And He was just a boy. And the more He reveals to you about Him, it makes you walk different. It changes your direction. It changes your course. And you discover your destiny. Oh, this isn't about a fat, jolly Santa Claus. Although, there's a lot of symbolism to it. Okay, just think of my mind. Just me. This isn't God's revelation. This isn't God's revelation. How does Santa Claus, hypothetically, in the eyes of many, deliver the presents? Through what? Through the chimney. What is a chimney used for? Fire. So your gifts are coming to you through your fire. Your gifts are only going to get to you through your fire. The only way fire can... Oh, Jesus, help me. The only way fire continues to burn is if it's fluted with air. You remember that old message that I preached about? Can these dry bones live? And what was prophesied? The breath. Breath, air, oxygen. That's the only way the fire continues to burn. But wait a minute. What do we hang over the fireplace? Stockings? What? That represents your walk with God? Am I talking to some folks in here that are looking at some symbolism? You want to hang a stocking that represents your walk in God, and He fills it with even gifts that are not wrapped, but they're hidden in the walk. Oh my God. The only time you're going to see these gifts is when you wake up. It's when you wake up, you see those gifts that are hung at that place where the fire is. And when He comes down, He doesn't distinguish the fire. He doesn't extinguish it. He comes in during the fire, and it presents the gift. Reminds me of the three Hebrew boys that were in the fiery furnace. Have a furnace of fire unless there's a chimney. A chimney. How did Jesus get there? Oh, I don't know. Maybe He came in a red suit. Maybe He came with, what do you call those? What is it, stocking? A stocking hat? Oh, and it has a white ball at the end, right? You know, when we pray, Lord, give me revelation. Well, you remember when the Israelites would go into the tabernacle and they'd go behind the veil? What would come? The light. upon their head. That white bald is on that cap that is colored red. It comes because you're under the blood. And revelation of the blood comes to you in your intellect. And you get wisdom. And no longer you're just going to get information. You're getting impartation. What is it covering? It's covering your mind. But we want to believe a fairy tale that he can deliver gifts to everybody all over the world in one night. In one moment, in one instance, he gave gifts to everybody. Story about the one here that had a what was guiding him in the darkness? His red nose. The blood always guides you in your darkest hours. The blood will always illuminate when you can't find your way. Wait a minute. Can you find this in the Bible? I ain't got to. I have faith the size of a mustard seed that I can speak to a mountain and tell it to get into the sea. Wait, that don't make no sense. Because it doesn't appease to your natural, but in the supernatural, your little faith can still move your mountain. So if you've been in the fire, and you've been going through some stuff, and whatever the fire had you bound, Jesus comes through that chimney and walks around with you in that fire, and he presents you to the gift that you have, the gift of faith that is eternal, that can't be taken away. Oh, they can take the word away, but oh Lord, I thank you that it's inside of me. I'm not looking upwards to heaven. Heaven is right here. I'm not looking for a God that is coming, for he is here already. Do you understand? Watch this. They say that Santa has elves. Jesus had disciples. And every time Santa would come, he would eat. Watch this. What are cookies? Baked with flour and have milk. What does that represent? That when you go through the fire, that the flour that is inside of you, what many would say is yeast, hold up now, because you've been redeemed by the blood, you begin to rise with the fire, and he will lead you to a place flowing with milk and honey. To go through the fire to get what God originally had for you. Because if you think you're going to walk this walk of faith without getting into the fire, let me tell you, your promotion only comes because you've been in the fire. And your gift begins to make room for you. Not only does it make room for you, it moves the adversity out of the way because you came through the fire. Everything you've been through, everywhere you go, the fire is intensifying. Oh, but Jesus is about to come through that chimney. He says, I'll be in that furnace with you. You're not alone. They threw you in, bound by the foot and bound by the hands. There was three that entered. But then they say, wait a minute. There's one more. You see, in the fire, you begin to call the God that's inside of you to come out. But then they say, wait a minute. In the fire, everything begins to multiply. And what they meant for evil, God brings you out, puts you in a place of authority, never to come against you again by this demon. Hey, that now the ones that put you in there are going to get burnt up instead of you. crowd talking about Christmas. Oh no, this is sacrilegious because that's not even the birthday of Jesus. We don't know. All I know is that he's inside of me. And there's symbolisms everywhere. You just got to see with your spiritual mind, not your natural. Not your natural. There's a reason why the enemy comes in at this time. To get you so focused on everything else that you're distracted by the real reason. Oh, faith was unwrapped because they were in the very presence of Jesus. How long does that faith last? Eternal. Eternal. It's not going nowhere. Even when you don't think you can make it. Even when your body wants to shut down. He's stepping right in. And when it gets hotter and hotter, and the fight gets worse and worse,